We're turning in the Bible for our scripture reading today to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Now, while you're finding the scripture, let me announce my subject. I'm preaching on the subject, He called you by our gospel. He called you by our gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I like nothing better when I try to preach the gospel than to set forth in the introduction some things that are certain and sure and as positive as the very throne of God. I'm going to give you, in the introduction to this message, four things that are as certain, that are as sure as the Bible is the Word of God, as certain as God reigns in heaven and earth. These things are sure. Now, you take note. If you'd like to, jot them down. Now, here's the first one. I'm confident, absolutely confident, that the Scripture teaches that salvation is the gift of God. Do you have any doubt about that? Salvation, redemption, is the gift of God. That glorious blessing that lifts a man from the dunghill and washes him and sanctifies him and makes him a new creature and takes him to the presence of God, perfectly conformed to the blessed image of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the very gift of God Almighty. That's what the Bible says. In Romans 6:23, the Scripture says, "The wages of sin is death." But the gift of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 1 John 5:10, the Apostle John rebukes men for calling God a liar. You say there are men who call God a liar, make God a liar? Certainly. John said, "When we do not believe the record that God hath given concerning His Son, we make God a liar." And he says in the next verse, "And this is the record." This is the record that men do not believe. This is the record that they do not believe, thereby making God a liar. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Our Lord Jesus said on one occasion, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life." He didn't say, "I sell it to them," or "I lend it to them," or "I let them have it for a certain length of time and then take it back." I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. You see, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And Paul said this, "Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you did not receive? Receive from whom?" I received it from God. How did you receive it? You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You certainly didn't deserve it. I received it as a gift of God. A gift of God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. "And who maketh thee to differ? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" My friends, to be perfectly frank with you, repentance itself is the gift of God. The Scripture says, "God hath granted repentance to the Gentiles." God hath granted repentance. And another Scripture says, "It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance." If I have felt a godly sorrow because of my sins, if I have wept before God because of my sins, if I have genuinely repented before God over my sins, that's the gift of God. That's the work of the Spirit of God within me that made me willing to confess my sins and to follow Christ. I'll tell you this. Faith is the gift of God. Faith, not only repentance, but faith. And these are inseparable. You can't have genuine repentance without faith, and you can't have genuine faith without repentance. If a man turns to God, he'll turn from his idols. And if he turns from his idols, he must turn to the living God, because any other God would be an idol. So faith itself is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is not a flower that blooms in the natural heart of men. Faith is the gift of God. So this is indeed the truth. According to the Word of God, faith is the gift of God, repentance is the gift of God, and all of salvation from beginning to end is verily the gift of Almighty God. And the Scripture of Scriptures regarding our Lord Jesus Christ and all the blessings, spiritual blessings we have in Him, led the apostles to declare, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, His incomprehensible gift." Thanks be unto God. All right, here's the second statement now. That's the first one. Beyond question, salvation is the gift of God. Secondly, according to the Scriptures, this salvation, this redemption, which is the gift of God, and I'm saying the whole of the work, the whole of the work whereby a lost sinner is lifted from a spiritual grave, from a grave of inability and unwillingness and corruption and defilement and depravity, and translated into the kingdom of God and made like the Son of God, the whole of that work is of the Lord and of Him only. And that glorious work of salvation is purposed by God in Christ before the world began. Now, that's what I just read to you from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said, "We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Someone said, "Well, I've heard of election. That's Presbyterian doctrine, or Primitive Baptist doctrine, or Hardshell Baptist doctrine, or some other kind of Baptist doctrine." No, my friends. No, sir. Election and sovereignty, these are not Presbyterian doctrines or Baptist doctrines or Hardshell doctrine. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. What saith the Scriptures? Look at 2 Timothy 1. Now watch this carefully. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. The Apostle Paul is sitting down there in prison, and he's writing to a young minister called Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Now Timothy, don't you be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of the gospel, the offensive gospel, the hated gospel, the gospel of God's glory. Don't you be ashamed of it. "And don't you be ashamed of me, his prisoner." But he says, "Timothy, you be ready yourself to bear the afflictions and persecution and harassment that comes from preaching the gospel." Now you be ready to do that. "For," he said, "the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began." That's what the Scripture said. This salvation, which is the gift of God, was decreed and purposed and planned by Almighty God before the world began. That's what that's saying. And in Ephesians 1:3, listen to this. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world." Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He said, I declare the end from the beginning. He said, I've purposed it, I'll do it. I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I'm saying that whatever takes place in time, in reference to God and Christ and salvation and His people and His kingdom, whatever takes place in time was decreed and purposed and foreordained from all eternity. That's what the Word of God teaches. See, His covenant is an everlasting covenant. David on his deathbed, these are the dying words of the psalmist of Israel, King David. When he was talking about his hope and salvation, he didn't base it on what he had done for God. He didn't base it on his psalms he'd written or victories he'd won or battles he'd won or fought or nations he'd conquered. When old David was dying, after all those years of walking with God, a man after God's own heart, these were his words. He said, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Here's David resting his hope and confidence of eternal happiness on a covenant, an everlasting covenant, which God made with him and for him and in Christ. And then in Hebrews 13, he said, God who brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And his book of life is the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's what the Scripture says. It says, these people's names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. His elect are chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. I read it to you. The glory of the Redeemer is eternal. When he prayed in Gethsemane's garden, John 17, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was our Redeemer, our Lamb, our surety, our substitute before the world was. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior, chosen by God, ordained by God, anointed by God. And His kingdom is from the beginning. At that great day, He'll say to those on His right hand, listen, Matthew 25, 34, come ye blessed, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I tell you this, it's as certain as God reigns, as certain as the Bible is the Word of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation's of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, whole and completely from beginning to end. And not only that, but this salvation, this gift of God, was purposed, decreed, and planned before the world began. And then thirdly, now listen carefully, according to the Scriptures. Now these are truths. This is so. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is decreed, designed, and purposed from all eternity. And thirdly, according to the Scripture, salvation is sure and certain, just as certain and sure as God's promise. That's right. I hear men arguing about once saved, always saved. They like to argue about that. They like to argue about eternal security. They like to argue about once in grace, always in grace. Listen to me. That's all wasted effort. All wasted effort. But let me tell you something. Now listen to me. The security of God's sheep, the security of God's people, the security of every person in the kingdom of God is inseparably, always inseparably connected with God's purpose and God's grace in Christ Jesus. Write it down. I'll show you that in the Scripture. Now listen to Romans 8, 28. Paul said, I know, and we know, that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, He called. And whom He called, He glorified. And whom He glorified, whom He justified, He glorified. So whom the Lord purposed to save, He called. Whom he purposed to save, he justified. Whom he purposed to save, he glorified. Those who are glorified are those whom God purposed to redeem. It's always in the glorification of God's people is inseparably joined to God's purpose. Listen to John 6. Our Lord said this, John 6:37. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. In other words, those who truly come to Christ will never be cast out because the Father gave them to him. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Nothing. But I'll raise them up again at the last day. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 1, verse 6, said this, I'm confident, fully persuaded, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it, perform it, complete it, finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. In Malachi 3, he said, I'm the Lord. I change not. I don't change in my purposes or in my plans or in my callings. The gifts and calling of God are without change. That's what Romans 11:29 says. The gifts and calling of God are without change. He said in Malachi, I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. That those whom God purposed to save, and those whom he gave to Christ, and those for whom Christ suffered, bled, and died, and those whom the Holy Spirit calls and regenerates and makes new creatures in Christ, and brings them to saving faith, shall never perish. Never perish. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Never. No man's able to pluck them out of my hand. No creature, no power can pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. You see, the security of God's sheep is always inseparably connected with the fact God gave them to him. He said, my Father gave them to me. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And I'll tell you this, the shepherd will never lose his sheep. If he lost a sheep, he wouldn't be the great shepherd. If he lost a sheep, he wouldn't be the good shepherd. Nor would he be the chief shepherd. Now, here's the fourth thing. My friend, these things are true. This is according to Scripture. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is eternally planned, purposed, and decreed by Almighty God. He cannot fail. Christ cannot fail. And thirdly, this salvation is sure and certain. Now, here's the fourth thing. According to Scripture, the God of salvation, the eternal God of salvation, who purposed to have a people, who chose us in Christ Jesus from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, who sent his Son to be our surety, who was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, will call you, if you're his sheep, he'll call you by his gospel. I read that in the text. Beloved, he said, I give thanks to God for you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. You remember when I read in Romans 8:29, it said, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he predestinated, he what? He called. He called. And then in 2 Timothy 1, it says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath saved us, and what? And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose in Christ Jesus, given us before the world began. In Galatians 1:15, Paul said this. He said, God, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, he called me by his grace. He called me. Don't be mistaken. God will cross your path. He will call you. If you're one of his own, he'll call you. Now, election is not salvation. It's unto salvation. You see, when the Bible talks about election, I'll give you some clues here. Always when the apostles wrote or talked or preached about election, it was with thanksgiving. Always thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Here in our text, he said, I'm bound to give thanks. I'm bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had chosen you. I give thanks. And then in Ephesians 1, when Paul wrote about the election of God's people, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath chose us before the foundation of the world in Christ. Bless God. And one day our Lord Jesus Christ was contending with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, who were trying to trap him in his talk and trying to turn the people's hearts away from him. And our Lord finally lifted his eyes to heaven. That's what Matthew 11 said. He lifted his eyes to heaven. And he said, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. I thank you, Father. Thank God for his elective grace. Thank God for his predestinating purpose. Thank God that Jesus Christ was given to us. Thank God he loved us. We never would have loved him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, he loved us. If he hadn't chosen us, we'd have never chosen him. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. He loved me. He called me. He called you if you wanted his sheep. Thanks be unto God. Election is a doctrine of thanksgiving. It's a doctrine of love. Beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. An object of his affection. An object of his mercy. It's a doctrine of eternal grace. It's from the beginning. It's from the beginning. It's a doctrine of salvation. To salvation. It's a doctrine of means. Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates. The Holy Spirit quickens. The Holy Spirit gives ears to hear, and a heart to believe, and eyes to see the glory of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that awakens the dead sinner. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And the Holy Spirit sets us apart and takes the seed of the Word, which is the truth, and grants unto us faith in that truth through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. A man must hear the gospel. Election is unto salvation. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. He must needs go through Samaria. Why must he go through Samaria? One of his sheep there. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you this. This is the question Paul asked. Whosoever awakened by God, troubled by the Holy Spirit, hearing the Word of God, whosoever shall call out of his misery, out of his inability, out of his sin, out of his depths, out of the depths, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his redemptive name, his glorious name, his saving name, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Huh? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? You may be a young lad listening to me there like Timothy. But Timothy learned the gospel sitting at the knee of his mother and grandmother. That's what Paul said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You learned it from your grandmother Eunice and your mother Lois. You may be a religious teacher like Saul, a Pharisee, a legalist, a moralist who didn't know God. And God sent him a preacher, old Ananias. He said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Saul, that thou mightest know his will and see the just one. You may be a businesswoman like Lydia, who traveled all the way from Thyatira down to Philippi and wandered down there by the riverside and met God's preacher, and God opened her heart and she attended to the things spoken by the Apostle Paul. You may be an important official like the eunuch traveling from Jerusalem down to Ethiopia, and God crossed his path with Philip and preached the gospel to him. You may be a runaway slave like Onesimus. You may be a jailer like the man in Philippi. But I tell you this, you must hear the gospel. For Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. I'm not talking about just hearing something religious. I'm talking about hearing the word of truth. The word of truth, who God is, what happened in the garden, who Jesus Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. How can God be just and justifier? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? If a man sin, who's going to stand for him? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? If a man die, shall he live again? Oh, I tell you, there's so many questions. There's so many vital issues. But in whom you trusted, in Christ, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You say, preacher, what can a sinner do? What can a lost sinner do? Let me give you four things. Number one, he can seek the Lord. Cornelius did. You got to hear the gospel. Hear the truth, the word of God. You can seek the Lord. Cornelius did. Secondly, you can read the Bible. The eunuch did. He's sitting there in the chariot reading the Bible. He didn't understand what he was reading, so God sent him someone to show him. And he believed on Christ, and God met him. Tell you something else, you can go where the gospel's preached. Onesimus did. He ran away from Philemon, but he ran right into the arms of the Apostle Paul down there in Rome in jail and sat at his feet and heard him preach the gospel. What can a sinner do? He can cry for mercy. The publican did. God be merciful to me, the sinner. The thief on the cross did. Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, God chose his people. He chose them from eternity to salvation, but through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Have you heard? Have you heard? God speak through his word. Now, I have this message on a cassette tape. He called you by our gospel, and one I'll bring next week. If you'd like to have it, write to the address listed on the screen and send $2. We'll mail it to you. God bless you, everyone.